grandchildren, for the teenagers today. And verses 8 through 21, old Daniel and his three Hebrew friends is in a culture different what they was raised in. They're going to stand before the king, and we'll see in a few minutes, and we'll find out what Daniel and his three Hebrew friends done, the decision that they made. We hope that you make some decisions this morning that will honor Jesus Christ or the day, as Daniel made. So we want to appreciate each one that's here today and ask God for a special blessing today of his spirit. And we will not read all of verses 8 through 21, but I like to read verse 8 and verse 21. And it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuch that he might not defile himself." And then verse 21, "In his decisions, Daniel continued." Daniel continued, "even into the first year of Cyrus." That was four kingdoms that he lived in. That was a great testimony. He continued. Let us again go to the Lord in prayer. Father Jesus, we thank you for this great subject in the part of the Bible, Father, that we hold so dear to us, about the times that we're living in this day, the times of our young people, our teenagers, and the generation here today. Father, how we pray that mothers and fathers see the truth and how that they need to help our young people today and the generation, Lord, is going out into the world, fixing to leave school from graduation to colleges and universities. Father, how that they need the Word of God, how they need mothers and fathers to help them frame the values that they're going to need in the world, Lord, that they're facing this day. Lord, it's a changing and a different world. But Father, we know that you'll be with each and every one of them, and we just pray and thank you for our youth. Thank you for this generation, not just here in this church, but around our community and across our country. We pray that you might open up our understandings, the mothers and fathers, to see how important it is, Lord, to help our children make decisions, have the values to pass on to the next generations. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and amen. Daniel and his three Hebrew friends, as we see a picture, it is a picture of youth today, youth in our country. They're in a foreign land. And I tell you, our youth, this generation, is in a foreign land. Honest way they could resist and consist is in this anti-Judo culture that we're living in today, this humanist culture. It is a culture without God, whether we recognize or not. The youth of this generation, our youth, depends on mothers and fathers to give them a clear moral value from the Bible. Now, a great mistake that parents are, they think that their children are living in the Judo-Christian culture that they was raised up in. That is a great, great mistake with parents nowadays. And grandparents, to think that your children is raised up in the same culture that you and I was raised up in. Remember last week I told you about the Judo-Christian culture and how it was in school time that they had Bibles and Ten Commandments and prayer and all this. That is not today. And we're facing a country and society that you and I are living in across our nation where it's anti-Judo culture we're facing today. You can see on television. Now, I have been blessed. My age has been blessed and enjoyed the part of this Judo-Christian culture that I was raised in. It has been a great time. But I want to tell you, no more. We're not living in those days. We already passed the post-anti-Christian culture. We are in it now today. And I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed the conditions of my mother and father. They passed on all these traditions to me and my family. But what will you pass on to your children at the time that we're living in today? On this way, because our culture is changing and it will never be back, I do not believe, in the old culture that I was raised in. And that is a Judo-Christian culture this day. As we see this, Daniel inspires for all of us to face the culture, especially our younger generation. They're going out into a world, and they're going to face the country. They're going to face the school system right now, and our local school system is probably the best we have in this country. I would put up Pierce County probably the best in the United States. You know, I'm kind of prejudiced to our Pierce County. Because why is this? It's because of the Christian teachers and educators that we have in our school system in Pierce County. Now, I know other counties may be right alongside of us, but across our nation, can you imagine sending your children to one of these inner cities, Chicago, and somewhere out in California, Miami, even Jacksonville, some of these bigger cities? It's not like it is in Pierce County. It's not like it is in our culture today. But they're going out. Whenever they leave your home, they're going out into anti-Judo culture. They're going to face this. And they need all the help they can get from mothers and fathers and from the Word of God and from their church. Daniel, he was in a different environment now than what he was raised in. Your children are growing up in a different environment than what you were. You need to understand this. He's going to have to speak a different language than he was accustomed to. The language of the king, the Chaldeans. Also, he's going to be reading different literature than what he used to. And he's going to live a different lifestyle. That is the same thing for your kids. You're going to have to turn them loose, mamas and dads. You can cover them all you want to, shield them all you want to, but sooner or later, they're going out into the culture today. It's anti-Christian culture that we're living in. Believe it or not, here it comes. The parents and youth today, it is the same today in the United States as it was then in Daniel's day as a Babylonian culture. The greatest mistake of any mother and father today, they think that their youth is going to grow up in the same culture that they have grown up in. That's why so many parents make a mistake. Don't need a church. Don't need a church. Don't need no help. We don't need it, but the importance, they can't get too much of Jesus Christ. That's the reason church is important. Not just once a Sunday, not once a month, but every opportunity that you get, it is important to you and to your family. Because we are in it today, an anti-Judo culture we're living in today. Verse 8, Daniel purposed in his heart. You don't read about Daniel's parents, but you do read about the results of his parents, of his upbringing. You see, you are the product. Every one of us sitting in here, you are the product of what your parents taught you and you turned out to be. Every one of us can look back on the history of our upbringing of our parents. See, I was brought up, and I said, everybody you know can remember back when there was values around the table, there was values in the homes. And that was passed on to me. And I hope it was passed on to my children. And I hope they're passing on to their children and their children about the forming of these values for our teenagers and our youth today. Because we are facing one of the greatest wars this country has ever been in. The war, the moral crisis that we're in today. Just watch television, see the demonstrations of people that hates God, that hates God in this country. The influence of parents and grandparents. So you need to hear the story. You need to read the story about Daniel and his three Hebrew friends. Now, there was other ones. The Bible tells us maybe there might have been 100 because the Babylonians had moved into Jerusalem, and they had captured all the young people. They left the old people there. They don't want them. You see, they don't want us no more, but they want the young people. Who do you think the devil is after more than anybody else today? It's not us old, worn-out people. It's your teenage children and your younger children. That's the one he's got in his aim. He wants them. But these four was mentioned in the Bible because every day your children and the society you're living in is hit with a hammer of compromise every day. Every time they turn on the television, everywhere they go, are hit with a hammer of compromise. What conviction are they going to pass on to their generation? What conviction have you passed on to your children? Think about this for just a moment. You see, I know that I had a grandmother all my life. I can't even remember whenever my grandmother, she was a member of an old church before I was ever in the world, I guess. That old hard shell church, they called it, Primitive Baptist, Mill Creek. You see, I got great respect for that much of people, because what they believed in, they was committed to. A whole lot more so than what Baptists are today. We got 150 members probably that's not here today. Where are they at? She was there. Not only her, but all the members that I knew of, they had a chance they would be there because they was committed to what they believed in. Most of our forefathers, most of our fathers and our grandfathers and right on back, they was committed if they was a Baptist church or a Holiness church or whatever it was at that time. They was committed if they could to be there. How about you? Can you reflect that on how you was brought up and how they was a member of the church and how they supported church and how are you sitting today? But what are you passing on to your children today? You see, Daniel made a decision. I hope that you make a decision for the Lord today, because life is a series of decisions. What you are today, basically on your decision, is what you have made in the past. What you are today, basically, is a decision that you've made in the past. Y'all know that? All right, what you be tomorrow will be determined by the decision that you make today. Today. You see, most major decisions are made while you are young. This reason this is so important, that our young people, our teenagers, our kids understand this. Because the biggest decision that you make in life most of the time is made when you are young. Salvation. Most of the time, salvation is made when a person is young. The older a person gets, the less percentage it will be that gets saved. Did y'all know that? That's the reason it's so important to have your children at the house of God at the time so they can hear the word of God. They'll sing the praises of God. But the decision are made, the most important decision made most of the time when a person is young to accept Jesus Christ. But not only that, you make also another great decision, your mate. Most of the time, a decision is made whenever you are young about your mate, who that you're going to marry in life. Very important decision, would you say? But not only that, a lot of our vocations, our jobs, what we're traveling to do in our life, most of the time were made at a very young age. What college you go into, what school you go into, what you gonna do when you get there, what you gonna be when you get older. Most of the time, you start trying to figure this out at a very young age. Very important, and the decision you make at a very young age to determine what you will be when you get older. Where you're going to live, decisions are made most of the time at a young age. Daniel, he was a crisis in his time of making these decisions. The greatest decision of his life was made when he was a young man. Now it says in the Bible these was children, but now that word there means in the Hebrew, most of the time for a young person, probably a teenager whenever Daniel made this. Now, Daniel was hundreds of miles from his homeland, carried out into a land he's never lived before. He was there in the king palace, there at the king table. Now, there was a test. Now, the book of Daniel tells us it's a series of tests for believers. Mothers and fathers, this book of Daniel is, when I tell you, the book today that we should be reading in the time that you and I are living in, because it gives us application how to confront the time and the issues and the crisis that we're living in today. Very, very important, because we find out in Daniel there's tests. Chapter 1, as we end now, is a test of the believer's walk. Chapter 2 is a test of the believer's witness. Chapter 3 is a test of the believer's worship as we go on through the book of Daniel. The first six chapters of Daniel is talking about a young man of old Daniel, and also it tells us about the life that you and I are living in today. But the last six chapters of the book of Daniel is strictly in the prophecy area about what will happen, what's going to happen, and we get into that maybe if the Lord will let me. Every test is designed to enable you and to enable me to walk righteous in the decision that you make in life and help us to make a decision. God will give you and enable you to make the right decision if you have the Word of God hidden in your heart as Daniel had. Now, verse 8 again, it says, you know what? Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, this was an outstanding decision. Transformed his life to the very end of his life because of this one decision. He will do the same thing, youth, teenagers, kids today, parents today. He will do the same thing for you. The decision that you make today could change your life to the end of your life today. One of the things that you can make today to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, I've sat here and I've accepted Jesus Christ. Well, you need to make the decision to follow Jesus Christ in believer's baptism. You need to accept Jesus Christ, follow Jesus Christ in a believer's baptism, but also get yourself in a membership of a church and start supporting that church that we might move out into this world and do what God has called us to do. All of his decisions gives us, as you read this Bible and find out what Daniel done, all his decisions gives us and our teenagers and our mothers and fathers gives us a encouragement and gives us conviction to decide to live for Jesus Christ that we may be able to make it and our children, our kids, our teenagers, our great kids, great grandkids, and on down, they may be able to make it in this society that you and I are living in. Daniel's decision. Now, he made a heart decision. Now, a lot of people make a head decision. A lot of members of the churches have made head decisions. They have not made the heart decision. It says Daniel purposed in what? His heart. That's the decision that you make today. Not just a head decision, but a heart decision. It means Daniel laid this decision on his heart. You need, mothers and fathers, you need to make a heart decision this day. That you know what? That you're going to raise your children in the house of God. You're going to see that they have all the material they need to have the conviction they need to live in this world that they're going out into that you cannot be able to be with them. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keepeth thy heart with all diligently, for out of it are the issues of life." Heart decision, because out of this heart, all the decisions of your life are going to come and you see the issues of your life today. Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, Daniel was changed. The facts about Daniel's life was changed. He changed his homeland. He had carried away into a new homeland. Well, I tell you, right before our eyes in my generation, the people is not even aware of a lot of even this day, that this country called the United States of America has changed. This is a different land than what I was raised in. It's a foreign land to my knowledge because I was not raised in this. The only world I knew was in a Judeo-Christian culture. I was not raised in this type of culture. It takes some understanding of the Word of God and seeing what's happening across our country today to understand our children is not going to grow up in the same atmosphere that I did. Y'all understand that, mothers and fathers? How important it is today he made this decision. He was carried to a changed land. They changed his name to Belteshazzar, but they did not change his heart. You see, the decision, the choice that you make will also, and our youth, will make you. Conviction, be able to make the decisions, and the decisions that your youth makes and you make today will determine their destination. Not just eternal destination, but the decisions that they make will determine their destination in this life. All the way to the end, as Daniel did. Be sure and understand this. Have a heart decision. Teenage kids, young kids, mothers and daddies, understand that they need to make a heart decision for Jesus Christ to be able to stand in this country that they're going to go out and live in that you and I did not live in whenever we was coming up. He made an individual decision. An individual decision, that means each one of them has got to make it themselves. Every one of you youth, all your kids, everybody today, you have to make this decision as Daniel did. You had to make an individual decision for yourself. Listen, your mother and your father cannot make this decision for you. They can give you material to have to weave these convictions that you need in your heart, but they cannot make these for you. You cannot live your life, their life for them, they're going to have to live it themselves. But you give them everything they need, they may be able to choose and make a decision. Daniel made this decision. He said he purposed in his heart. It's your heart, teenagers, mothers and fathers, his heart. Parents, give them everything they have, everything you can. But woe unto parents today that do not give the things to their kids, material they might be able to weave their own convictions. Grandparents, parents, when church to you becomes unimportant, it becomes unimportant to your children and to your grandchildren. And you're taken away from them. You say, well, I've done pretty good. I wasn't raised in church. As I tell you before, I wasn't either. But I was raised up in a Judeo-Christian culture. And it was passed on all around us. I remember whenever I was a boy walking the sandy roads of old churches, Middle Arm and Denison. Sometimes we'd get thirsty and we'd go by one of the old churches and there would be a quart of water under an old hand pump. And we would take that quart of water and we'd prime an old hand pump and get us all the cool water we wanted. And then we would fill that container back up and we'd put it back down for the next person that come around. Judeo-Christian culture. You know what they would do today? They would steal the pump. They'll steal the pump. Makes the difference. They'll steal the pump. Daniel made this decision. This decision was between him and the Lord. And I tell you, teenagers, kids, today, the youth, this decision must be made between you and your Lord. The pressure of the culture. Daniel was in the land. He was in a land where have no interest for Jehovah God, no respect for the authority of Jehovah God or the word of Jehovah God. And they laughed at the laws of God and made fun of Daniel's worship. Children today, teenager today, youth today, we are living in the same time when people have no interest for God across this country, no respect for the authority of God or his word, and they laugh at his laws and make fun of our worship across this land. We are living in a Babylonian culture today. This pressure culture from every hand, anti-Judeo culture. No church, no study, and no time for God. That's where you're at today. People think they're doing good. But your children, mothers and fathers, they're going to have to leave that nest. They're going to have to go off to these secular colleges. Hope none of them have to go to Berkeley, don't y'all? But they are secular colleges mostly. As a TV, we see them that the godless culture they're living in, especially in the colleges across our land. And I told you Wednesday night, was y'all all here Wednesday night? I can't remember if y'all was all here or not. But I told you about Moses. You see, he had to be hid for 3 months or so many months. What were we going to do with him? Mother and father decided they'd make an ark, put him in the ark, put him in a Nile crocodile infested river. And we know that God was with him. Pharaoh's daughter found him, wanted to find a nurse for him. Miriam, his sister, went and got his own mother. She said, if you'll take this child and raise it, I'll give you your money. Payday for the mother. She raised it till it come a time that Pharaoh's daughters called for that child. And she says, Moses, don't forget who you are. Don't forget what you are. She had to turn him loose. Mothers and fathers today are sending their own kids out into a crocodile-infested Nile culture today without the protection of the ark. The ark is Jesus Christ. Many a mother and father has sent their children out, and they do not have that protection against the crocodile-infested society they're living in. They need the ark of safety today. Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now Daniel, it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Daniel done that. Mothers and fathers, that is for you. Your children will be conformed to this culture, or they will be transformed by the renewing of their mind through Jesus Christ and the Word of God. One of the two will happen to your children. There's no sideline. They're not on the fence. It will happen. And a lot of times it be you, mothers and fathers, that don't see the seriousness of having your children where they ought to be and give them all the material they need in the Word of God. The pressure from the peers. Good gracious. The pressure from the peers. There was hundreds of the young people was carried away into Babylon captivity, according to the Bible, the Babylonian time. But only four is mentioned. Why? Why is there not other names mentioned in the Bible? They made their decisions to go along to get along. To go along to get along. And they became nothing but a piece of driftwood on moving of the current of that crocodile-infested Nile River called our society that we're living in today. Pressure comes on Daniel like he did all the rest. And it's going to come on you, children, every day, mothers and fathers. But especially our younger generation, the time, the pressure is so much stronger today it was in my time at youth. Parents, y'all understand that, don't you? The biggest thing I know that a person can do whenever I was coming along was drink a beer or push little ducks in the water. I don't know if I could have made it in the culture that our children are living in today. Never heard about drugs. Know what all about drugs? I don't know about drugs now. But I know they out there because I watch it on television. It scares me to death across our country. I was not raised in that. But you see, Daniel, he was hundreds of miles away from his homeland. You see, in the pressure of his peers and your peers, I'm going to tell you the pressure of the peers of the kids going off to school in colleges and dorms and in the society that they're living in. They're going to be pressure from their peers. Come on, Daniel. No. Just a little thing? No. The circumstance of these pressures, the consequence also of his decision. There's a price to pay when you decide to say no, children, kids, teenagers, mothers and fathers. There's a price to pay when you say no to this old world and say yes to Jesus Christ. Daniel said, I'm not going to eat. He would not eat the king's meat nor drink his wine because of scriptures. If you don't know why, because Daniel knew his Bible. Read Leviticus chapter 11 and you'll find out the laws of what they could eat and what they could not eat. Daniel knew his Bible. They had worship service on Wednesday night. They had Sunday school. They taught Daniel. The importance to the youth today. In Daniel, I won't even read, I don't have time, but 9 through 14 tells about Daniel, and he stood before the eunuch. He says, you try us for just 10 days and don't give us no meat or no wine. Just give us vegetables to eat. Try us for 10 days and see how we look. And he did. They looked better than the rest of them was. Now, you see, we find out the Word of God is in his heart. Now, Daniel had some principles, and it come from the Word of God, the spiritual guidelines. Daniel says no. One of the hardest words and the greatest words in our English language is the word no. Daniel said no. The most effective word that we have in our English language is no. Come on, Bill, take this beer. No. Oh, don't be a sissy, Bill. Come on, it ain't no big thing. No. As I said, I've been watching TV on these addicts and people on alcohol. It's terrible what we have today. You see, if you don't take that first drink, you will never be an alcoholic. You'll never be an alcoholic. You'll be sober all your life. Come on, Sue. Let's go to the motels. There's going to be some boys there. No. Oh, Sue, we're living in society. It's a lifestyle. Everybody's living together. You know what? Let's go. There's nothing, no big thing. Come on now. We'll have fun. You don't want to be different, do you? Come on, Sue. No. And girls, if you keep saying that, you'll be pure when you get married. Bill, come on, let's smoke one of these Jirijuana backer sticks. Let's pop one of these pills. And I've been watching them give themselves shots. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't know how in the world they can do that, start shooting up. I don't like needles. And how they can give themselves shots, I reckon because the addiction is so strong, that's a little thing, a needle. But come on, it's just a little thing. Try it one time. If you don't like it, you don't have to do it again. But they tell me some of these drugs, if you try it one time, you're already hooked on it. Your kids going to face this now, I'm telling you. Y'all going to face it. It's coming, mother and daddy. It's coming. I have taught in my 30 years about it in pastoring. I've talked to mothers and fathers that their kids have been on drugs. Boys and girls. And they'd always say, you know what, I raised them better than that. They knew better than that. Talk to some whenever the girls come up with a baby. Oh, she knew better than that. Oh, she knew better than that. Yes, they did. A little small child knows right from wrong at a very early age. But you know what you're doing when you're not supporting the house of God and the things of God? You know what you're doing to your children? They know better. Adam and Eve took forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And I'll explain this to you before. But when they done that, in their own strength, they knew what was good, as your children all know, because you've taught them. But they didn't have the power to do good. They knew what was evil. But in their own strength, they did not have the power to keep from doing evil. Yes, they knew better. But a lot of this falls back on the mothers and fathers do not see the importance of what God is trying to do in the house of God for you and your kids, for the future they're going to live in this world, to give them the power that they say no and the power to keep doing what's right and keep from doing what's wrong. The influence of the decision you make will influence others. Did y'all know that? Even this morning, as someone might walk down this aisle to accept Jesus Christ, some mother and father might decide, hey, it's time for us to quit playing church. It's time for us to get serious. It's time for us to dedicate ourselves to the house of God, the things of God, and the people of God, and the Word of God. Whatever reason that someone might come, the decisions you might make to come for salvation or whatever it might be, did you know you might cause other people to come? Mothers and fathers, you coming to do what God has already told you to do in your heart. You know what you need to do, and you know you need to make that commitment. You need to make that decision. Did you know what? It might be your own son. It might be your own daughter. It might be your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, your husband, your wife, that you may have that influence on that person and your family or your neighbors. Decision and commitment. influences your children. Mothers and fathers, it influences your children, the commitments you make. If you don't care about the house of God, the things of God, what do you think is passing on to them? Be reasonable in the Word of God. What it means and what we're trying to do here at this church to give them all the information on the Word of God, the things of God they can have. And also it influences others. The key to your family might be you this morning. The key to your family, it might be you. Family might come to know their Savior. Might be your families, your friends. It's a test to you this morning. Every one of us is facing a test this morning, whether we realize it or not. Daniel made a heart decision, an individual decision. He made an influential decision, but also he made a humble decision. His request to abstain. Verses 50 and 60, and we will read. At the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter than the flesh than the other of the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. And Melzar took away the portion of the meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. That's vegetables and grain, if you don't know what that word is. God really affected their appearance and their countenance. Do you know who you serve will eventually show up on your countenance? Who you serve will eventually show up on your countenance. As I was telling you, watching television, these drug addicts, Lord, they look so terrible. Oh, my goodness. Look at them. I mean, they look so bad. You know, I was at a nursing home the other day and seen a man, he was in a wheelchair. I thought he was about 130 years old at least. I mean, he looked like, you know, you can tell people are old and he's old. And I said, you know, I started talking to him and asked him a question. I said, you know, well, how do you, what do you add to your lifespan that you hear today? How do you have a good life? He said, well, he said, I drunk all my life. He said, had four wives, didn't work, lived on welfare, laid out at night, about as sorry as anybody could be. I said, good Lord, man, how old are you? He said, 28. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen these people? Their accountants will show who they serve. It'll show up on them. 1 Samuel 2 and 30. Them that honors me, I will honor. And your countenance also. See, not only that Daniel had a humble decision, but you see, Daniel was rewarded. He had a spiritual revelation in Daniel 17. For these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learnings and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and in dreams. And he was mentally enhanced, learning in wisdom. Learning is required of facts. Wisdom is the ability to use those facts. 3-year education program at the University of Babylon. The United States today, did you know as most part, y'all know what I'm talking about, the school system, I ain't talking about Pierce County and our local school system, but United States education at most parts no longer is a purpose of information, but rather it's indoctrination. Indoctrination. Our problem with our public school system, if it don't change, it has to be disbanded if you ever get your children back. Because the problem with our school system is secular. That means no God. No God. And that means they cannot put the spiritual dimension into our education system. Judeo-Christian culture. Secular education can tell you how to have a healthy body. It cannot tell you how to live in this healthy body. Secular, no God, can tell you how to have a head full of facts, but not a heart full of peace. You see, I was brought up in school and I thought I was smarter than most of my teachers. And y'all young and ever thought you were smarter than your teachers? Now, y'all don't need to write this down, kids, but I want to tell you what the Bible says about this. Psalm 119 and 99, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Y'all don't hear that, did you? I thought about a certain young boy when I read that. I won't call his name. But they had royal elevation. Personal continuation, as I'm trying to close. Daniel 21, 1 and 21. Daniel continued even to the first year of King Cyrus because of Daniel 1 and 8. Daniel purposed in his heart. He continued right on to the rest of his life in the Lord Jehovah God. Kids, you make this decision and purpose in your heart because you see, this is the honest life that you're ever going to live on this earth, and you need all the help you can get. Because you're going to have to go out from your mother and your father. You're going to be out there sometime by yourself. And you're going to have the tame peers. It might be in college. It might be in school. It might be just you and your boyfriend, girls. And he might say, come on now if you love me. Come on if you love me now. You'll give me. No. Come on, let's ride down and have us a beer. Let's go down there and have us a little party club, boys. No. Parents, you better help them out all you can. What can you do? I told you, and you already know, you better take it serious. The culture that they're living in that you was not raised in and I was not raised in, it is not the same culture today. What they're facing is 100 times worse than what I faced as a teenager growing up in this world. I still had problems, still had tests, failed a lot of them in life, but I never had anything come up as our teenagers and our youth is having to come up with today. And you're going to have to turn them loose sooner or later, Mama. Daddy, and it's a scary thing, is it not? It is a scary thing. You've raised them the best you can. Remember, old Daniel's mother and father was not mentioned, but I guarantee you the life they live will be the life that you showed him right here at Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. You better get serious with the Lord for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. If God has spoken to you, we have a song of invitation. Their decision time comes now. That's what preaching is all about. It causes you to make a decision. You're going to make a decision this morning. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're going to have to make a decision. If you're here today and you already accepted Jesus Christ and you have not come publicly and let the world know that you love Jesus Christ, you need to come and make that decision. And you need to follow him through baptism and church membership. Mother and fathers, you may want to make a decision that I have decided to follow Jesus for no other reason than for your children and your grandchildren, to be committed to the house of God, to the things of God, to give them, to show them what Christ means to you will mean to them. And they'll need this when they go out in this crocodile-infested world. Well, you can't go with them. In fact, a lot of us mothers and fathers, we may be dead. They may be your grandkids. And to be like me, as my grandmother had been passed away many years, but I could still see her on the front porch of that old house, rocking during the dinner time and reading her old Bible. That made a great impression on my life, and I was lost. For many years, I was lost. But she made an impression on my life about her Savior, about her Jesus. And Father, fathers, you may not think this is important. You might be unconcerned about sometime being committed to the house of God and the things of God. But I can assure you one thing, your children's watching you. And they know you. And your brothers and sisters, your mothers and your fathers, your husbands and your wife. Not only that, your friends that ride by your house. See if your car's there. They know where you're going to church or not. And see if what you say you are means anything to you whatsoever. I hope you come this morning for the reason that God has laid it on your heart and see the seriousness we have in the culture that we're living in today. And I really feel sorry for our young people, but I know one thing. With Jesus Christ, they can make it. If they in that ark of safety of Jesus Christ, no matter what problem or temptation comes to them, they can make it with Jesus Christ. You better give them all the material, the conviction that you can. Because they're coming a day that they're going to need it. They're going to need it bad. As we stand this time and